Questions 31 through 34 refer to the following conversation about trees.
Hi, I need to buy a tree for my yard, and I can't figure out what would be the best variety. There are so many available for sale that I don't know where to start. Could you recommend two or three that are easy to grow?
I'd be happy to. First, you need to tell me whether you'd like to plant for shade, ornament, or fruit. Then it's important to consider the type of soil and exposure you have in your yard.
Well, I'd like to get a tall tree to put on the sunny slope on the south side of my property. Actually, I think the soil is eroding on that ridge, and maybe the tree roots can slow the erosion down.
In this case, I think that a walnut may be quite suitable. On the south side, there is usually a good deal of sun exposure and heat, and, for example, sycamores or cottonwoods do not do well in such environments. It's also important to think about drainage, because if the soil is heavy and compact, swampy areas are not a favorable match for walnuts. Walnuts and pines thrive in direct sun and loose, sandy soils, where they can spread their shallow roots.
Walnuts grow to be enormous, don't they? Cedars or another type of evergreen seem to be a bit shorter. Do you think that a very tall tree may become a problem on an uneven slope?
The pine family is medium size, even fully grown, and walnuts are certainly much taller when they reach their maximum height. However, pruning either walnuts or evergreens is not recommended. Besides, it will take decades for trees to reach such a height that their tops become inaccessible.
Thank you very much for your help. This definitely gives me food for thought. To be honest, it may be a good idea for me to buy a book on trees and read up a little before I actually buy a real tree.
Question number 31. What does the man ask the woman to do? Question number 32. What are the important considerations when planting a tree? Question number 33. What do evergreens need to grow well? Question number 34. What does the man say he should probably do next? Questions 35 through 37 refer to the following conversation between a professor and a student.
I was looking over the class roster yesterday and noticed that you major in violin. I've always been fond of violin music. I even took lessons for several years, but didn't think that I had enough talent or skill to become a professional musician.
Well, my father is a violin maker, and as a child I was surrounded by violins and violin music. His workshop always used to smell like drying wood and lacquer, and I spent days watching him create instruments that musicians admired. When they came to get their orders, they had to try out the sound, singing tones, rapid figurations, and melodies, and I just couldn't get enough. I used to sit quietly in the corner and watch them adjust the strings and the bow. So I guess I got so interested that when it was time to go to college, I already knew I wanted to be a violinist.
You have a delightful story here. Have you considered submitting it as a final term paper? Our final assignment will be a short story, and you don't need to look very far to come up with one. What you just told me makes for a terrific exposition or a descriptive narrative. As a devotee of violin music, I'd love to read about a violin maker and his son who falls in love with music by watching his father work.
Thank you. I could write a book about making sound boxes out of plain pieces of wood and bows out of long, hard, narrow planks of Brazil wood. My father is the real expert.
Question number 35. What do musicians do to test a violin? Question number 36. What can be inferred about violin making? Question number 37. What does the professor probably teach? Questions 38 through 40 refer to the following conversation about contact lenses.
How do you like your new contact lenses? I am debating whether to get a pair, but they seem to be awfully expensive.
Who can compare cumbersome and inconvenient glasses to contacts? You don't need to worry about breaking them or having them fall off your nose. Eyeglass lenses are easy to scratch when wiping them, and sometimes they even fall out of the frame. Today's contact lens plastics are a miracle of modern technology. If you get an eye exam and a precise fitting, then your contacts can be customized to cover only the cornea of the eye and precisely fit over its curvature to reduce eye irritation. Contacts are so convenient, particularly if you play sports. You can run, jump, and kick without worrying whether your eyeglasses will come off.
Well, how long does it take to get used to wearing them? I've worn glasses all my life and don't know a thing about wearing contacts.
No time at all. My optometrist told me that soft lenses are much better than hard ones. Hard ones do take a bit of practice, but soft lenses are made of a malleable material that forms itself to the shape of your cornea. Best of all, though, are the extended wear lenses that my friend Sally has. She doesn't even have to take hers off or clean them. She wears them for a week and then throws them out. Compared to glasses, the extended wear lenses are expensive. They cost several hundred dollars a year. But I am sure that if you have the money, the convenience can't be beat.
You surely do sound like you like yours. Where did you buy them?
I'd be happy to give you my doctor's name and phone number, but to start, you need to have your eyes checked and the lenses fitted, and then it may take a week or two for your pair to be made at the lab. When they are ready, the doctor will call you in for another appointment to see if they fit. If they are not comfortable, the doctor or the lab may have to adjust them.
Boy, this sounds more complicated than buying a bike.
Question number 38. What is the woman's opinion about eyeglasses and contacts? Question number 39. How many types of contact lenses are mentioned in the conversation? Question number 40. According to the woman, what is the first step in buying contacts? This is the end of Part B.